Beijing is stepping up a campaign for Chinese citizens in the world to highlight what it sees as Japan's history of aggression and war crimes against China. In a series of moves since January, China declared two Remembrance Days related to its 20th century conflict with Japan. One of the national days commemorates the victims of the Nanjing Massacre launched by Japanese forces in 1937, while the other marks the victory of Allied powers over Japan in 1945. So what impact is this Chinese campaign having on the public? Jeffrey Wasserstrom, professor of history at the University of California in Irvine, shared his view with Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin.
Well, young people are ones who have been particularly exposed to a kind of ramped-up version of patriotic education that began after 89 in particular. And so they are very exposed, and there's a lot of playing on television of films that show Japanese troops behaving horribly in China and brave Chinese standing up against them. So fewer and fewer people are actually remembering those events, but many more people have a kind of intense, what's sometimes called prosthetic memory of it, a kind of secondhand memory because they've seen so many images on TV and stuff. And I think the last thing that's important to keep in mind about all this is the Communist Party is doubling down on certain kinds of patriotic stories because some of the other stories they tell about why they deserve to rule are having less and less purchase. Earlier in the history of the Communist Party, in its control of China, it could tell a story that once we came into power, wealth was more equally distributed than it had been in the past, and officials became less corrupt than they had been in the past. Well, now China is an incredibly unequal land in terms of wealth and poverty, and everybody knows that. And there's a lot of corruption within the official class, and everybody knows that, too. So one of the stories that is left to tell is it wasn't until we came into power that China was able to stand up tough in the world. And it wasn't until we came into power that that foreigners stopped being able to have unfair advantages in our country. So they're kind of doubling down on these kinds of things in the last 20 years. And so that means that a young generation has been particularly exposed to that kind of publicity drives, propaganda drives. And so it does have some kind of effect.
Jeffrey Wasserstrom is also co-author of the book China in the 21st Century, What Everyone Needs to Know, which has previously been featured right here on Daybreak Asia. The Chinese government has been using a variety of tools to tell the story of its defiance of Japanese aggression, from domestic TV programs and news publications to newspaper articles written by Chinese diplomats for an overseas audience. Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin also spoke with Jeremy Goldkorn, director of the Danway Media Research Service in Beijing, and asked him to assess the significance of those steps.
It's quite difficult to tell. I mean, the Chinese government's external propaganda of one kind or another tends to be rather wooden and not particularly effective on people outside of China. But as I said, TV programs, documentaries about what they call in China the anti-Japanese war have long been a staple of Chinese television. And I don't know exactly, you know, if they're double this year what they were last year or what the numbers are. So, I mean, there are always programs about the anti-Japanese war on TV. I think there seem to be a few more in recent years. They tend to be either drama series or historical documentaries, and they would cover the range of Japanese activities and atrocities from the Nanjing Massacre, where hundreds and hundreds and thousands of ordinary citizens in the city of Nanjing were massacred, raped, and tortured, to things like the Japanese camp in northeast China, where they performed experiments on Chinese citizens, including infecting them with bubonic plague and then freezing them and drowning them and trying to figure out the limits of human endurance through these atrocities. So, you know, these type of documentaries will concern this type of thing. And to a populace that, you know, already has a memory, a collective memory of these events, which is reinforced through the education system and reinforced through TV and films, these events remain very real, and as a result, the anti-Japanese feeling is something that is very real in China.
Well, how nationalistic is sentiment generally? Do you find that some Chinese like what they hear from the government propaganda machine, or that some people want to hear more of that or less? Or is there a whole range of opinion?
It very much depends on which issue you're talking about. In the case of attitudes towards Japan, popular reactions on social media and on the streets tend to very much fall in line with the government, and sometimes are more extreme. You sometimes get reactions where people feel that, you know, the government is too weak, that if the government was stronger, they could, you know, just, you know, take over the Diaoyu Islands and, you know, ensure that the facts on the ground made it China's rather than having to debate with the Japanese. But generally speaking, the attitudes are very much in line with the government's.
Jeremy Goldkorn is the director of Danwei, a website and research firm that tracks Chinese media and internet. He spoke with Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin.